That's one of my favorite Wright songs. I have decided. I'm glad we decided. Next Saturday is going to be a good day in that we get to come together as a church, all that would come. We're going to meet there, as Brother Chris had said, there at the Brazos Park. Is it Brazos? Brazos River Park? Brazos Park. Brazos State, Fort Bend Park. You know what I'm talking about, right? All right, good. 10 o'clock. Bring all that you want to bring to eat and bring for a couple more, just in case you might want to share. And then we'll eat. We'll have bring your bikes. They got trails. We'll have some volleyball. We'll have some horseshoes. We'll have some. That's kind of tough there. We'll have some dominoes and Uno for people like me. We might even have maybe a frisbee. Like frisbee, you know, we might do that. We might even toss some eggs. Y'all like tossing eggs? Raw eggs. I'd love to see when they bust in people's hands. And so we might do that. We might even have a balloon toss with water. So, depends how everything's going. Does anybody know the weather? Everything looks good? Have anybody ever checked the weather out? Rain, sleet, or snow, just be there. If it's any, make sure you just bring your food. Amen. And so that we can at least do that. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to have a good time. Now, if you don't have a good time, it's because you just didn't want to have a good time. But I am. And I'm going to come. I'm going to come with a smile on my face and on my black bike. And we're going to be at it. Sister Retta? We have a pavilion. Yeah. I'm going to ride in the rain. I'm not going to drive all the way out here just be sitting in the pavilion. Amen. Me and the crocodiles. All right. I hope you get to come. It's going to be a good time. Right after service this morning, we're having meal, lunch, and we're looking forward to that. Hope you get to stay, eat with us, and if you don't, I love you anyway. And it's supposed to be honoring and the pastor. I guess October is the month for honoring or kind of giving your pastor. I don't know who made that up and why did it have to be October. But anyway. It is, and we're honoring it. And so right after the service this morning, I'm going to be preaching out of the Bible concerning honoring the pastor, where we get that from, so we can have an understanding of how that is. And so I pray that you'll be here for that. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Mark chapter 10. Had my physical this past week. It took 4 hours for the physical, and down at Methodist Hospital. And it wasn't an insurance. Insurance didn't pay for it. But then at the end of the physical, the doctor told me I had to lose 30 pounds. So I'm going to go to a different doctor as we stand this morning. I am at that. My father had diabetes and my grandmother had diabetes and a lot of my uncles had diabetes and the doctor did say that I'm at that verge of being a diabetic. I'm not a diabetic, but I guess it's called pre-diabetic. And so that they said if I lose 30 pounds, that I can help that out. So I don't want to become a diabetic. I know some of that is diet, and I know some of that is probably genetics or however that is. So we're going to do our very best to diet, but not today. Not today, tomorrow. Thank you, sister. Appreciate that. I've been on that diet before, the tomorrow diet. Yeah, and then I'm 30 pounds overweight on the tomorrow diet. So just kind of let you know, amen. All right, Mark chapter 10, and we'll start reading in verse 17. Well, I've enjoyed preaching through Mark, and this is where we are now, and so we pray the Lord to help us this morning. I've preached on this several times in the past, and. But yet this morning is a little different. The Bible says in verse 17 of Mark chapter 10, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him, asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name here this morning. We pray that you anoint us with your Spirit. Pray, God, that you'd speak to us through your Word. I pray, Father, that you'd help us along the way. We need clarity of the Scripture. We need to understand this morning the context of the Scripture. God, this man who's the rich young ruler, and Lord, why he would walk away grieved, and Father, not inherit eternal life. Father, we need your touch on this. We need your help and hand. We pray you'll guide us all the way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Gospels have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and has given us some another account, or the same account, but more details, it seems. And so, right at the front here, I want to just bring to your attention a few things. This man was a rich young ruler. Now, it doesn't say that in our text here in verse 17. It just says when he was gone forth into the way. But we know that through the Matthew and through Luke that he was a rich young ruler. And we're going to see that in just a moment. But I want to say, number one, that can you just imagine the verses prior to verse 17 was Jesus taking these young children and he was touching them and holding them. And as you see there in verse 16, and he took them up in his arms and his hands upon them and blessed them. I can just imagine the scene of all these little children that were coming to Jesus, and Jesus was holding them, touching them, was loving them, being compassionate on them. Then all of a sudden, here comes this man running up to Jesus. As he comes running up to Jesus, he no doubt has a motive of coming and running up to Jesus. And the motive is, I've got to have an answer. And the answer that I need is, what do I need to do to inherit the eternal life? And so it's telling me that this man was concerned, or he was at least thinking about his eternal life, thinking about life after. And so we find that no telling what he was doing prior, but he came to Jesus as Jesus was loving on the children. Jesus was caring for the children. We come to verse 21, and it says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I can just imagine that scene, how there seems to be so much love, so much compassion, so much care that Jesus was coming forth and coming about. How this man must have felt comfortable. He must have felt welcomed. He must have felt like, boy, here Jesus is loving these children, and then I show up out of nowhere, being somebody he doesn't know, and I'm a rich young ruler, and he's loving me too. What a lovable God. What a lovable Savior. And boy, that is true this morning. And if it wasn't for the love of Jesus this morning, none of us would be loved. Amen? And we thank God for His love this morning. I want you to notice, though, that the life of this man, when he found Jesus, or when he came to Jesus, loving on the children, caring for the children, that life was treating him good. This man was a man that had life good. Just like many of us in this room today, life is treating us good. Life is treating us well. That's a big question in many arenas. They ask you, how's life treating you? You ever get that question? I get it all the time. I tell them life ain't worth a flip. And they say, what do you mean life ain't worth a flip? I say, the life ain't worth a flip, but the Lord is good. And of course, they kind of just go cross-eyed and walk off, you know. But the fact of the matter is, this man, life was treating him good. Let me show you a few things about this man's life. He had plenty of money. Look in Luke chapter 18 and in verse 18. And we'll see, the Bible has said concerning this young man in chapter 18 of Luke and Luke 18, verse 23, I'm sorry. The Bible says, and when he had heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Very rich. So we find this young man very rich. He had plenty of money. Money wasn't the issue to him. He had plenty of things. The Bible says he had great possessions here in our text here. So we find that this man there in verse 22 was a man with plenty of money, plenty of things, plenty of possessions. He didn't lack for anything. He didn't lack for nothing. Everything he had was right at his fingertips. He lived a nice life. He lived a good life. He lived a life that was probably what everybody else in this room's dream is. That I can become rich. I become very rich. That I become very wealthy. That I become a one with great possessions. That if I can just have homes and cars and things and money in the bank and retirement and CDs and annuities and life insurances. And boy, if I can go in the stock market and hit it real big. Some even go play the lottery and see if I can go gamble my way to become a billionaire, millionaire, trillionaire. Because see, that's the whole push, it seems, and the whole move of society is go to work so you can get rich, you can get wealthy, you can have things. This man had, life was doing him well. He was a man, had plenty of money. I tell you, secondly, he's a man that had plenty of authority. Luke 18:18, the Bible says concerning this young man that he was one that not only did have plenty of money, but the Bible says he was a certain ruler. He was a ruler. So he was a ruler of men, a ruler of others. He was one that had great authority. He had great responsibility. He had great great people working under him or for him. And so he wasn't one that didn't have any kind of a responsibility. I would say that many looked up to him with honor. Many looked up to him with respect. And he was one who was a ruler, a one that had charge, and one who was in control, and the one that could make decisions, and the one that made choices. And so we find he had plenty of authority to do whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it, and he had great plenty of money to do as well with that, with all the riches that he held. But thirdly, I notice he had plenty of opportunity. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 20, the Bible says of the same story in Matthew, it gives another detail about this man. He was a young man. The Bible says there in chapter 19, verse 20, the young man saith unto him. In verse 22, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So he was a young man. He had plenty of opportunity. He had his whole life before him. He had all the years that he could do and all the years that he could have. No telling of what his plans were, his desires were. You know, you look at somebody like me, I'm 56 years old. I done lived three quarters of my life. Amen? And so I got a quarter left. And so what I'm going to do in the quarter of my life, I want to serve Jesus. That's what I want to do. And so now this man has a whole long life ahead of him. All the days ahead of him. Everything, a possibility. He's a rich man. He can have anything. He's a man of authority. He's a young man. He's in the prime of his life. I mean, everything's working good. Can I say this? Life is treating him good. Amen? I mean, listen, friend, I guarantee you that he is just one of the top young people of that day. But I notice, fourthly, he had plenty of morality. Now, a lot of times you find young people, and you find rich people, and you find people with authority, but they're not moral. Now, this man's moral, though. He has plenty of morality. I want you to look in verse 17 of our text, here in Mark chapter 10. And we find that he says, and when he has gone forth into the way, there came one running and knelt to him, asked him, he said, good master. We find that this man was respectful to Jesus, respectful to the Master. He was respectful to the Lord. He was respectful to those that maybe be older than him, or those in a position that Jesus held as a master. One that was a good teacher. One that was a great preacher. One that taught with authority. Unlike the scribes and the Pharisees. They looked at Jesus and he was one. He kneeled down and he called him good master. And so we find that this man had some morals about him. He was respectful. That goes a long way. Amen. Many people don't have many morals any longer. Barely ever you hear ever children ever saying thank you or please or excuse me. You hardly ever hear any adult say to another adult, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, thank you, I appreciate that, goodbye, hello, how you doing, talk to you later. All this kind of communication's out the window. Hey, what's up? That's not respectful. What's up, dude? Hey, chickadee. I mean, that's the kind of language we use today. I mean, that's just how we... Hey, later. Man, what's later? So we find that even children, you talk to them, they just walk off. They don't say anything. You say, how you doing? You know, I mean, some that get a little older, they say, it's none of your business how I'm doing. So we find that this man here had some respect. And so we find morality had plenty of that. We find he was religious above many. We see that according to the scripture, verse 19, Jesus even said, thou knowest the commandments. So Jesus is saying to him, because Jesus is seeing more than just he's rich, he's young, he's a ruler, he sees more than he's just respectful. He sees that he knows some things. And he knows the commandments. So he has to be a religious guy. You don't know commandments without being religious. And so he's a religious guy. He knows the commandments. So he has some knowledge about things. He has some understanding about some things. He's not ignorant of God. He's not ignorant of the Ten Commandments. He's not ignorant of the Old Testament. The Bible says that he knows these things. But look at verse 20. The Bible says, he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. So not only did he know them, but he obeyed them. Now that's two different things, isn't it? There's a many of people in this room know to do right, and you don't. There's a lot of people in this room who knows the Scripture, who knows and understands it intellectually. I mean, if we sit down and we talk about Scripture, we talk about the Bible, you'd give me some understanding of it by what you know. But it's not what you know, it's what you do. And so we find this man, not only did he know it, but he obeyed it, he observed it. He was one who took it to him in a personal way. He's a one that not only knew what he knew, but he applied what he knew. And so we find this man in religious, he was a man of morality. He had plenty of morality. Matter of fact, he was above and beyond anyone else. That's a rarity, isn't it? I mean, you can think about it, of people today, young, rich, authority, and moral. Oh, man, that's top of the line. Amen. I mean, how many people do you find today that is a man that's rich, that has authority and moral? Not many. You can't hardly find them anywhere. They act like they're not produced anymore. You might find some rich, you might find some young, and you might find some with authority, you might find some with morality, but putting all that together, it's hard to find. Well, here's a man. Life, can I say, was treating him good. I mean, this guy had it going on. I want you to say, number two, not only did life was treating him good, but now we come to the portion of this Scripture where Jesus the Lord is telling him right. He's telling him right. He's fixing to tell him, just as the question was asked there in verse 17, Jesus is about to give him the answer. But before Jesus gives him the answer in verse 21, Jesus speaks from his heart. And I want to say to everyone, whether you're a young, rich ruler, and you've got a lot of morals, and one thing that he did have that was mistaken, is he called Jesus good master. And Jesus said to him, there's none good. And so this rich young ruler, one thing he wasn't good. Because Jesus said, there's none good. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says there's none good. You'll find all through the Scripture that none of us in this room this morning is good. You don't have no goodness in you. There's no goodness about you. You wasn't born good. You're not living good. You're not going to die good. You are not good. In other words, you're no good. That's what the Bible teaches about us. I know that's not a very good thought this morning. And I know we're supposed to go eat and have a good fellowship. And I just told you, you're no good. But that's what Jesus said to this man. Nobody's good but God. And when you get God, you get good. And until you get God, you're not good. Amen! That's just the Word of God. And so we find here in this passage that the Lord was telling him right because life was treating him good. He was speaking from his heart, for he said, he beheld him and loved him. Jesus had compassion on this man. Even though this man was no good, even though this man was rich and young and ruler, and he was a man who did not only knew the commandments, but obeyed the commandments, Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus cared for him. Jesus was looking down deep into him, and Jesus was focused on him. It wasn't all that he did. It wasn't all that he had. It wasn't all that he was. It was him and him alone. And Jesus loved him. Now, before you ever get saved and born again, you got to know that Jesus loves you. And when he tells you straight, when he comes in conviction, when he brings your life up, when you get feeling awful and you get to feeling terrible and you begin to suffer and you begin to think, oh God, what have I done? Just remember, everything and all things that God ever does is for good because He loves you. He loves you. Jesus loved the church that He gave Himself for it. Jesus loves you. He loved this man. And boy, this man already seen because remember, Jesus was touching and hugging and holding all the children. And now we find Jesus with compassion and care and with conviction. Now this man here in verse 21, he was at his very best that he could be. This man was at the height of his life. Rich, young, ruler, moral, knowing, keeping. Everything's perfect. Everything's right. Everything's good. He's at the top. He wasn't at the worst, and yet at his top, he was the worst. Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him at his worst. Why, he thought he was at his best. He at his highest point, at his ultimate greatest, this young man was loved by Jesus. Friend, whether you're high or whether you're low, He loves you. Whether you're black or whether you're white, He loves you. Whether you're woman or whether you're man, He loves you. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, He loves you. Whether you're intellectual or you're just dumb, He loves you. Amen? He loves you. Just want to get that point across. Remember now, the question was asked, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now Jesus is about to answer this, but He's going to answer it in love. He loved him. Number two, He spoke not only from His heart, but He spoke from His experience. Jesus said in verse 21, one thing thou lackest. I wonder, dear friend, if we can make examination of our own lives right now. Would the Lord Jesus say to us, there's one thing that lacks in your life? Man, that'd be a pretty good place, right? Because I could think of several things that lacks in my life. But He said, there's one thing that lacks in your life. Hey, that's pretty good for this young rich ruler, amen? But Jesus only saw one thing. I mean, if you go to your wife today, they're going to tell you several things. You go to your husband, they're going to give you several things. You go to your children, hey, talk about daddy, talk about mama. They give you a whole list of things how sorry you are. I mean, you go to friends, you go to co-workers, you come to church members. Listen, if you're going to open yourself up and say, hey, listen, would you just tell me things that lack in my life? They're going to give you a long laundry list. Jesus said one. One. He's pretty close. He But he said there's one. You say, Brother Larry, if I just have but one thing that lacks in my life, I will go to hell. Yes! Just one. Well, how about if I straighten up all the 100 things and I don't straighten up on that one? One. You can't go to, you can't have eternal life because you lack this one thing. That's pretty serious. We find that word lacketh there, and that's verse 21. It means to come short. It means to fall short. It means to this man, you are short. It means that you are lacking. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, this rich young ruler here, he had a great life. But the Lord is telling him, right, there's one thing that you don't have. And that one thing is grace. Because you can't buy grace. You can't inherit grace. You can't, because you're young and think you can get that from your father, you can't get grace from your father. Because you're rich, you think you can buy grace, you can't. Oh, because you think you have authority, that you can demand grace. Grace, come over here. This man is lacking grace in his life. He's moral. He's rich. He's in the top of his life. If you saw him walk, if you saw him in a place, if you saw him talk to him, you'd think he's saved. You'd think he knew God. You'd think you walked with God. There wasn't a blemish about him. Hey, listen, friend. He said that he did not commit adultery. He did not kill. He did not steal. He did not lie. He did not deceive anybody. He honored his mother and father. That's what he did. He did it all from the time of his youth. That man was almost just perfect. Jesus said, you're lacking something. What you're lacking is grace. I'm going to tell you something today. There's a lot of people in church today. They got all their ducks in a row. They got all their lines in right. They think they got all their do's and don'ts, and they got a list of things, and they examine themselves, but one thing they don't have is grace. Grace. They're still no good. They thinking they're good, but they're still no good. Grace. How do I get grace then? We'll turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. I want you to tell you that this is what Jesus, the Lord and Savior, experienced. Remember, I said He spoke from His experience? And this is what He experienced. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. And this is what this man was missing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Won't you look at this? This is what Jesus experienced, and this is what this man didn't experience that he was lacking. He comes short on. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is grace? Well, here it is. For your sakes, He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. That's what Jesus experienced. In other words, Jesus experienced, for your sake, He became poor. You know Jesus is God. You know that Jesus was in glory. You know Jesus was there with the Father and the Holy Spirit before the world ever began. You know His place is in heaven. You know His throne is in heaven. He had to come down from heaven down to earth. He had to descend Himself. He had to become in human form. God became flesh, the Bible says. The flesh, you and I that understand it as Jesus today, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. He had to come from heaven and down to earth. And so He had to come from where He was in all great riches, all great treasure, to come down and become poor. Left all that He had. He had to come to the cross of Calvary. And when He came to the cross of Calvary, He had to lay down His life.
for. He had to shed His blood. Poor. He had to die on a cruel cross. He had to die between two thieves. He had to die under mockery and shame. He had to die under dishonor, and yet He knew no sin. He was buried in another man's grave. He arose the third day victoriously. Can I say that Jesus and all His riches He set aside. He put away. He let go. And He became poor for us. That's what He experienced. Now, Jesus is telling this young rich ruler, "Now, sir, sell all you got. Go give it to the poor. Come, take up the cross, and follow me." That's grace. Grace is that Jesus died as a substitute for you. Grace is that Jesus died as the sacrifice for you. Jesus gave up who He was, gave up where He was, gave up what He was. He became poor so that you become rich. And He's asking this young man, He said, "All I'm asking you to do is one thing. I'm asking you to give it up. To give it all up." There's a song, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe." In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Jesus gave Himself for our sins." Galatians 2:20, "Jesus gave Himself for me." In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "He gave Himself for the church." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, says, "He gave Himself a ransom for all." And in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, "He gave Himself for us." Christ, who was rich, became poor. Because of Christ, you have to become poor. What do you mean, Brother Larry? I mean, in order for you to have eternal life this morning, you got to give it up. You got to give it up. You say, "Well, I don't understand that. I don't believe that." Well, let's look at these other scriptures. Look at, don't turn there. I have it written down. But Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit. Poor in God. That I've given up everything for God. I've given all that I am, all that I had, all my breath, all my future, all my family, all that I ever possessed, all my riches. I give over to God. I give God my life. I lay down my sin. I lay down my life. I give over to Him. "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You say, "Well, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things." That's Paul. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, "But what all things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For when I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." All I'm saying this morning is this man who had all this riches, all this authority, all this morality. This man had the world right at the tip of his fingers. This man was living on the top of all tops. And Jesus said, "One thing is lacking." And what is it, Jesus? "It's grace in your life." Well, how do I get grace? I get grace when I give my life up to Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was coming to the shores of Galilee. There was Peter and John and James out there working on the ship, working on their boats. And as a fisherman they were. And the Bible says, Jesus said, "Follow me." And the Bible said they put down everything and left all. Friends,
Man, you'll not receive the grace of God if you're trying to hold on to your sin. You'll not receive the grace of God if you're trying to hold on to your life. You'll not get the grace of God if you keep on holding on to what you think the way you are to live. And this man here, friend, Jesus told him, there's one thing thou lackest, and that is, and I'm telling you through my experience, I have given all that I have, and I became poor, so that through my poverty, you can become rich. And until you give all to me, you can't become rich. You want to hold on to your drug, your alcohol, your women, your pornography? You want to hold on to your bad attitude, your sorry spirit? You want to hold on to your way of life? You want to hold on and live like you want to live and become unfaithful and do as you want to do and please as you want to please? And do you want to blame somebody for it? Friend, you don't know the grace of God. The grace of God is when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I lay down my life. I give all. I give you my sin, my life, my family, my heart, my money. I give you everything I am, the very breath I breathe. It's all yours. I surrender all. All to Him I give. That's what Jesus did. Have you done that? Oh, you come down here and pray the prayer. That's not giving Jesus nothing. Oh, you come up here and got baptized in the baptistry. That ain't nothing. Well, I joined the church. I did this. I did that. I kind of made a little reform in my life. I was living kind of bad, but now I'm not living bad anymore. None of that works! Who cares? Jesus gave it all. You have to give it all. Have you? Are you still playing? You're still on both sides of the fence. You got the world on the left, you got God on the right. You're a straggler. Huh? You can tell by your life. Up and down, in and out. You can tell you're not settled for nothing. You're not reliable, you're not accountable. You're not responsible. You're like a live wire. You hear there and yonder. Listen, friend, that's not what happens when you get saved. When you get saved, you give all to Jesus. We find, secondly, in His poverty you might be rich. He says, back into our text in Mark chapter 10, He says, one thing thou lackest, that's grace. Go thy way and sell that whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You see, when you get poor, you get rich. You got to get poor. You got to get poor. You got to get poor in spirit. You got to get poor in what you are, what you have. But you're nothing. You got to get poor. Lord, I'm just a sinner. Lord, I'm just sorry. Lord, I'm just pathetic. Lord, I'm just nothing. Lord, I can't do anything. Lord, listen, I am out of control. Oh, God, I'm just one that loves sin, loves pleasures, loves desires. Lord, I want to do what I want to do. And Lord, I'm tired of me. I'm sick of me. Get rid of me. I want to go. God, help me. I give it up. And friend, when you give it up, you get it all. You give it up, you get it all. No more days like the days before. No more. I mean, listen, friend, the treasures in heaven is eternal life. The question that He asked, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, one thing lackest is the grace of God, and I've experienced it, and so should you. If you get poor, then you have riches, treasure. Riches like what? Well, rich with the wisdom of God. Romans 11:33. You want to be wise? That's a riches. You can't get right. You can't get rich until you get poor. You ever been poor? I'm not talking about no money. I'm talking about poor in spirit. You come to the end of yourself. If you want the wisdom of God, you've got to get poor in order to have the riches of this. The riches of knowledge of God. Romans 11:33, the riches of the Romans 9:23, the riches of the glory of God. And Ephesians 1:7, the riches of the grace of God. Ephesians 1:18, riches of the inheritance of God. In Ephesians 3:8, the riches with Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Colossians 2:2, the riches of full assurance. You want to know that you're saved and know you're going to heaven without a doubt? It's the riches of God that does that. And it comes through being poor. Hebrews 11:26, the riches for the reproach of Christ. In Revelation 5:12, it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. See, Jesus is the true riches. And this young man, rich young man, rich ruler, who had everything going, everything working, everything was right, and yet he never became poor. He wasn't willing to give up anything to get eternal life. Until you come to the place that you're willing to give up everything and become poor, will you receive the treasure of heaven. The riches. The riches. So many people walking around with paper riches. Riches that going to break down and fall down and burn up one day. But the true riches comes when you get poor. And through His poverty, you become rich. Oh, God, help us today. Help us, Lord. Can I say here, He spoke from His Word. He said in verse 21, He said, come. And that's what you need to do this morning. You need to come to the place where you become poor. I'm willing and ready to give up and give all. I'm done with me. Come! That's a universal invitation. All through the Bible you'll find, come! 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 You say, well, Brother Larry, is God going to make me come from here or from here or from there to come down? No! He's inviting you now. Are you ready to be saved? Are you ready to be born again? Are you ready to have eternal life? Are you ready to inherit it? Do you got to get poor in order to get rich? If you're already rich, you can't get poor and you'll not have eternal life. It's hard that way. You say, brother, my problem's not riches. My problem is maybe things. Well, you ready to give them up? Well, you know, mine is my job. You ready to give it up? You know, mine is my future, my business. You ready to give it up? Well, it's drugs or alcohol or women or pornography. You ready to give it up? To this man, it was riches. To you, it may be something different. You got to become poor. Riches. Poor. Come. Come. I'm not coming to you. You got to come to Him. You got to come. You got to make the first step. You got to say, listen, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I have given up everything. And all that I count for loss is dung, that I may win Christ. Come. Come. This morning, secondly, He says to him, He says, take up the cross. Not only to come, but command. Command. What do you mean command? That means you got to command the cross. Larry, all I want is the cross. I want to come to the cross. I want to lift up the cross. I want to bear the cross. I want to command the cross. The place of shame. The place of suffering. The place where Jesus died and bled for my sin. The total sacrifice. The precious Lamb of God. And I demand it. I demand His blood to be upon me. I demand the cross. I take up the cross. I connect with the cross. The cross will be my life. The cross will be of my life. The cross will make my life. The cross will be the life in which I live for. I will take up the cross. I will bear the cross. I will lift the cross. I will exalt the cross. I will bring the cross with me. I will take the cross on me. And I will command it all the rest of my life. The cross. He said, take up the cross. Then He said, follow me. That means a commitment.
a commitment. That just means that you're going to become a follower of Christ. You become an attendant of Christ. You become one that's accompanied with Christ. One that has sides with His party. It's one that you're not going to sway away. You're not going to stop following. Hey, listen, you won't stop following if you really get grace. There's no place in our mind, in our heart, in the heart of mine, and God either, that you back out. That you draw back. You don't find it in Hebrews chapter 10. You'll find it that those that are saved and those that are just, for the just live by faith, are those who do not draw back. We find this morning, follow me. In other words, yes, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and yes, you can be born again, and yes, you receive Him, and you take up the cross and bear Him, but you don't have to follow Him. See, we find that shortage in our so-called Christianity of today. You want to get saved? Here's how it works. You want to go to hell when you die? Oh no. You want to go to heaven when you die? Oh yeah. What do I need to do? All you got to do is believe in Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected? Oh yeah. Well then, all you got to do is just believe that. Do you believe it? Yeah. Well, if you really believe it, take my hand. And that's a proof that you really believe that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected. Okay, you take my hand. Now, once you take my hand, I say, okay, now I know that you're sincere, that you really believe that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected. Now, won't you ask Jesus to save you? Well, I don't really know what to say. Well, let me say it for you, and then you repeat after me. And so I say this prayer, they repeat after the prayer, and then I take them here, and I say, okay, now you're saved. Does that sound right? That's what's going on. You might be here and that happened to you. There's no place where Jesus said, listen, there's one thing that I like is this grace. You got to become poor. You got to turn from your sin. You got to turn from your wicked life. You got to turn from where you are. And you got to give it all up. And when you give it all up, then you got to come to me. And when you come to me, you got to take up my cross. And when you take up my cross, then you got to follow me. You got to live after me for the rest of your life. Living after me, living after me, living after me. You got to go to church. You got to serve Jesus. You got to give unto God. You got to be just an imitator of the Lord. You got to follow Him. Follow His steps. You got to look at Him and trust Him and love Him. Be just like Him. You're a Christian. Christ-likeness. And everywhere you go and all you do is about Christ. It's about Christ and Christ. It's about the church. It's about Him. Him, Him. You say, Brother Larry, please. That's a Christian. The Bible says, you know what that man did? He walked away sad. Grieved in what Jesus said. That man went to hell. Today that man's burning in hell. There's only one thing that he lacked. He walked away from that one thing. I don't have time to go into the whole message, but I'll just give it to you briefly. What was it? And Jesus told him four things. He said, number one, go sell your stuff and give it to the poor. Number one. Number two, come. Number three, take up the cross. And number four, follow me. Four things. Which one of those was the one that he lacked? Which one? You say, well, maybe if he went and sold all his stuff, no. If he kept all his stuff, he didn't get rid of nothing. He said, you know what? I'm going to keep everything that I have, everything that I am, but I'm going to come to Jesus, take up his cross, and I'm going to follow him. You think that would work? No. So, okay. I get rid of all my stuff. But I never come to Jesus. Think that would work? No. Sell all my stuff and I come to Jesus, but I don't take up His cross. His cross don't mean nothing to me. No. His cross does mean something to me. I come to Him. I gave all that I had. I gave everything up. I let go of my life. But I'm just not following Jesus. Is that enough? No. All four of those was one thing. Grace. When you experience the grace of God, you'll let go of your life. You'll come to Jesus. You'll take up His cross. And you'll follow Him. We won't have to beg you. We won't have to plead with you. We don't have to call you on the phone. We don't have to text you or tweet you. We don't have to get a Facebook so that we can talk to you on Facebook.
We're not going to come to your house. We're not going to call you. We're not going to do anything. You'll be here, and we can't run you off. You'll love Jesus, and you'll never be offended. He that is spiritual shall not be offended, the Bible says. Friend, this man walked away because lust has taken him down. That's my third point. Lust has taken him down. He loved his life more than Jesus. He loved what he was doing more than Jesus. And he loved who he was more than Jesus. And he loved being who he was more than Jesus. And he died and went to hell. What a sad story, but what a true story. He had the whole world. Why would he exchange the world for the grace of God? Why would you do that? You in this room right here, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven if you die? That's one of the riches of assurance. If you don't have that assurance, maybe because you don't have the riches. You don't have the riches because you never got poor. But when you get poor, through His poverty, you shall be made rich. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you come to Jesus this morning? Would you take up His cross? And would you follow Him? Would you get poor this morning? Would you let go of everything that you call value? You say, I'm willing to give up everything this morning, Brother Larry. I'm willing to turn my life unto Jesus. I'm ready. Won't you come? Won't you come and receive the riches of God's grace? Riches of His assurance. Riches of His knowledge and wisdom. The riches. The riches. Oh, don't live poor. Become rich. You sing, Brother George. You come. Come to do business with the Father this morning. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to save you. Ask God to change you. Are you done with you? Are you through? You're tired. Many people are tired of you. Are you tired? Are you come to the end of you? Many people come to the end of you. Have you come to the end of you? Let go and let God this morning. Let Him have your heart and your life. Surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all. Is that you? Is that have been you? Yes. Let go. I lay down it all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Him I owe. Yes. That's right. Bless your holy name.